Goodman.
One of the worst things parents can do in terms of feeding their children at breakfast is feed them boxed cereal. And there have been a couple of studies that have been done showing that you actually are getting more nutrition out of the box than you are the actual cereal inside the box.
Would you include Kellogg's, since we have a Kellogg's plant here in London?
Absolutely. Any of the food giants out there that are producing boxed cereal, I don't care if it's Post, I don't care if it's Kellogg's, I don't care if it's Quaker, these boxed cereals are toxic, and you should not be feeding them to your children.
Okay, I want to chat with you for just a moment before we get into the subject this morning. Steve Garrison and I have a running gag about Pam Colleen. He calls her the crazy lady, and she laughs when she hears that. Because she's just, again, said something that people would say, she is crazy. And I love that. Because we have a health epidemic in this country. And until we start getting into a little crazy talk, which kills some of the sacred cows out there, we are not going to fix our health problems. And this morning, you just heard the clips. I talked to Pam Colleen a little earlier this morning. I love Thursday mornings because what are we doing today, Pam? And she is looking at a study which suggests that for rats, there's evidence that if you fed your kids the box the cereal comes in, they'd be better off than the cereal itself. I wasn't going to confess this to Pam, but Pam, I love raisins.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I was in a grocery store and I saw a product called Loaded with Raisins. So I got one. So I have been eating occasionally cereal out of a box. You're saying cereal out of a box for kids at least, and you're talking about a city that has a Kellogg's plant, is not a wise thing to do.
No, because the extrusion process, when
extrusion. When extrusion, you use big words, yes. I've got to ask you, what's extrusion?
Well, that's the process that they use. It's using a lot of heat and a lot of pressure, and that's what's used to change or transform that grain into a flake or an oat or an oatio or whatever, you know, those shapes that those cereals come in. And while that grain is being exposed to all that heat and all that pressure, what is suggested by these experiments that have been done on lab animals is that the amino acids, the actual structure of the amino acids has been rendered toxic. So it's not a healthy food. And of course, everything on the package says otherwise. So it's very alluring. It's very tempting to believe that these box cereals are healthy. But it's not just that I'm concerned about the potential toxicity of these box cereals because of the processing involved. It's because these cereals have displaced better choices. These cereals have displaced more nutrient-dense breakfasts that would be better for your children.
So they're toxic on two levels. What's actually in them and the process that was used to make them. And secondly, the foods you should be eating instead of the cereal. Now, one thing about Pam Colleen, she always buries me in research, videos and books and more videos and websites. And so I just want to cite a study that Pam is pointing to, which you need to know about. And folks, at the end of the day, it is your decision, but we want to make you more aware. Paul Stitt described in his book, Fighting the Food Giants, this study. Four sets of rats were given special diets. One group received plain whole wheat, water, vitamins, and minerals. Another group received puffed wheat. Keep puffed wheat in mind. There's some very interesting evidence about what puffed wheat can do. Water and the same nutrient solution. A third set was given water and white sugar, and a fourth given nothing but water and the chemical nutrients. The rats that received the whole wheat lived over a year. The rats that got nothing but water and vitamins lived about 8 weeks. And the animals on a white sugar and water diet lived for a month. But the company's own lab study showed that the rats given vitamins, water, and all the puffed wheat they wanted died in 2 weeks. It wasn't a matter of the rats dying of malnutrition. Results like these suggested that there was something actually toxic about the puffed wheat itself. Proteins are very similar to certain toxins in molecular structure, and the puffing process of putting the grain under 1,500 pounds per square inch of pressure and then releasing it may produce chemical changes which turn a nutritious grain into a poisonous substance. Going to go right to the bottom line. The startling conclusion of this study is that there's more nourishment in the box than there is in cold breakfast cereals. in some cases. That's a stunning suggestion.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I think it makes complete sense. I mean, this is a highly processed food. It's adulterated from nature. And the more we adulterate our food, the worse it is for us. So the closer we can basically maintain our diet as per our ancestral diet, because we know our ancestors were healthier than we are. So we know we have to return to the way they used to eat if we expect to save our healthcare system and our province.
It's absolutely fascinating to me, the number of guests we've had on this show over the last several years who have blazed a brilliant new trail into new ideas about your health, prompted by a personal experience in which they walked through the valley. And you're one of those yourself who had terrible health issues and decided to do the research yourself. In that vein, we have a fascinating guest this morning. Pam, would you do the introduction?
Oh, I'm thrilled this morning. Very honored to have Christine Kennedy on the line. She's a mother of three, a very busy mother of three. And she's also a Weston A. Price Foundation chapter leader. And she's in Kitchener-Waterloo. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Pam. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Christine. And Pam, I'm going to, Pam gets annoyed by this, but I do it for the sake of our listeners. I never want to assume that you know what a certain word means, like what was the
extrusion,
cereal?
Extrusion, yeah, it's a new word.
Or
yeah.
Who a certain person is. Weston A. Price, remind us.
Weston A. Price is the Canadian dentist who back in the 1930s started noticing that children started having cavities and crooked teeth, and he was treating the parents of these children. And the parents didn't have these problems. It was the first time he started to see in a generation cavities and crooked teeth. So he became very inquisitive, and he decided to travel all around the world to study dental structures and also overall health in different communities. And what he discovered was that in communities where they were adopting westernized industrialized foods, these were the cultures that not only were going to have more cavities and crooked teeth, they were also going to display more disease, more chronic diseases, things like cancer, heart disease, and so on. But in cultures where they maintained their ancestral diet, their ancestral dietary wisdom, these cultures had beautiful teeth, had straight teeth naturally, and didn't have, for the most part, they didn't have any cavities. And these people weren't, you know, flossing their teeth, brushing their teeth, and they certainly didn't use artificially fluoridated water. So we are supposed to have naturally healthy teeth, straight teeth, cavity-free teeth, and so on. So essentially what Dr. Weston A. Price's research teaches us today is what are the fundamental principles of a healthy diet. And Christine Kennedy is the president of the Weston A. Price chapter in the Kitchener-Waterloo and Cambridge area. And that's what she's doing as an advocate. She's trying to educate local families about the importance of returning to the ancestral diet.
So Christine, my apologies for the long introduction, but I can just sense that you're standing up with your hand over your heart because this is music to your ears.
Absolutely.
First of all, let me say just a word about how much attention we've been focusing here in London on the Kitchener-Waterloo area the last few days with the very sad news about the farmers market there burning down. That's very sad.
It is sad, but we've got such a good community, and it's going to be rebuilt. In fact, the market is open today anyway.
So yes, and we'll be...
It'll get rebuilt right away, and the beloved market will be back in business in no time.
Terrific. But again, folks, that market in St. Jacob's Market is back open today. Not the building part, but the outdoor part. Anyway, Christine, well, it's absolutely fascinating to me how many of the guests that we have had on this show have begun their journey to new awareness about nutrition through walking through the valley in terms of bad health experiences, either themselves or a loved one. Are you in that category?
I would say somewhat, yes. I was experiencing some ill health, and through Pam's help and through the help of the Weston A. Price Foundation, we're on the mend, and so are my kids, actually. We've had some minor blips with their health, and I'm so completely grateful for the Weston Price Foundation.
Let me just double-check, because I'm fanatical about good telephone quality when we have a guest on the phone. Are you on a normal phone talking to us? You're not on a speaker phone?
No, I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, okay, terrific. Okay, tell me about the lowest point where you said there's got to be a better way, and nutrition is that better way.
I think we lost her.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, Christine, I'm just asking you, what was the low point where you just made that decision that you weren't going to go with the traditional knowledge when it comes to the way you live, but that you were going to seek a better way to better health?
Well, I was always interested in food and health right from a child, right through high school. I was interested in actually becoming a dietitian when I was in high school, and I actually went to the hospital and did some co-op with them. And, you know, they were pushing a lot of chemical foods for their patients, you know, like the drinks and things on Sure and things like that. And I knew, you know, when I saw that, that really wasn't the way I wanted to go. And, you know, I went through university and I took kinesiology and phys ed, and there, you know, there's a little bit of health in that course. And, you know, as time went on, I got married and I had kids, and, you know, I love to cook. I was a collector of cookbooks, and it was one day that I ran across a cookbook called The Maker's Diet by Jordan Rubin, and he made a lot of references to real food and traditional people, and that made reference to the cookbook by Sally Fallon, which was called Nourishing Traditions, and I had to run out and get that cookbook, and I had to read it front to back as soon as I got it, and as soon as I read it, I knew that this was the way that we were supposed to be. This is the way that we were supposed to cook. This is the way that we were supposed to live. And, of course, Sally Fallon is the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And from that moment on, I started including almost all the principles that traditional foods, traditional peoples, you know, what they did, I incorporated that into our diet.
Okay, the challenge.
There was no looking back.
The challenge we always have on this show is not to overwhelm our audience with too much information and yet to give them enough that they're absolutely hooked on the wisdom of what you're saying. Summarize what it is in Sally Fallon's book, Nourishing Traditions, that absolutely captivated you and convinced you that good nutrition, the stuff you put in your mouth, is absolutely the key to good health.
Well, basically, it was she talked about how basically everything that the government has been teaching us all of these years is completely wrong. And I'm a bit of a rebel myself. So anything that the mainstream says to do, you do the opposite, or at least I do. And there's a reason for that. So, you know, in the book, she talks about how the low-fat myth, what a lie it is. And she talks about how important it is to eat fat. And she talks about how important it is to eat meat. And we've been shunned away from meat for so long by the government. And she gives really good, solid reasons about why we should be eating, you know, eggs with the yolk, how important the yolk is, you know, organic fruits and vegetables, and how to properly prepare your grains and just eat the food that your ancestors ate. Because look at how healthy they were. And it was just so convincing that I knew it was the right thing.
So let me ask you, I mean, you're just making a list here of everything that we are told by our noted Health Canada and our noted local health units. We should do exactly the opposite is what you're saying. You started with low fat, you went to meat. I'm going to ask you, number three was the egg yolks. And I smile every time I go to McDonald's now, and they now are sharing this obsession with nutrition, but going in the wrong direction. You've noticed, I'm sure.
Yes.
With respect to egg yolks?
Yes, and their egg white options.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so bad. That's really tragic. We've done a show on that before. But Christine, in staying with the theme of this time of the year with back to school, I know the answer to this question. I know you know the answer to this question. So why don't you share with the audience, why is it that the egg yolk is so important, especially with regards to brain health and children?
Well, that's where all the nutrients are, and that's where the good fat is. And without that egg yolk, you can't digest the protein and the egg white. And the egg is virtually useless without that yolk. That's where all the nutrition is. It's where the choline is, where the good fats are. And that's what our brain needs. That's what our nervous system needs.
So tell me,
would be a crime.
Tell me, when Pam and I talked about it, when McDonald's first announced they were going to give people that option, what was your reaction?
It was just another reason to stay away. Another reason not to bother.
Now, Christine, you sent us a list of what you might eat in a day as a family, and you've got three young children, and you've really adopted. You've done a fantastic job at adopting an ancestral diet. So maybe you could share with the audience a typical meal that you would eat, for example, at breakfast.
Okay. So I know Pam had already discussed with you, Andy, how toxic cereals are. So we definitely don't feed our kids cereal. I don't think I've bought a box of cereal in probably 6 or 7 years. But what we do typically eat on a daily basis is eggs. I get good pastured organic eggs about 8 minutes down the road from where I live. So we eat eggs just about any way, and I fry them in butter. We serve them with raw cheese. We make bacon. The kids get whole raw milk to drink in the morning every single morning. If they're feeling like toast, then I don't make it, but I do buy a good sourdough bread. So they'll get toast with lots of butter. They don't get to eat their toast unless it's smothered with butter. And every now and then I'll make oatmeal or pancakes or waffles, and I'll serve it, of course, with lots of butter and real maple syrup. So those are just typical, you know, not every day, but, you know, for the most part, that's what we eat. Yeah.
And that's a great idea because, of course, all that animal fat is going to help not just feed their brain, but it's going to help stabilize their blood sugar.
Have there been
You notice a huge difference when they're eating the good fats. Their moods just stabilize, their blood sugar stabilizes, they're not bugging you for food. You know, an hour after they've eaten, and their moods are just better and they're happier, and you know, you just notice a big difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just from having a change in their diets. What a breakfast. No cereal. Now, this is the home of Kellogg's here in London. You're saying no Special K?
No.
No corn flakes?
Not only is there no nutrition in those cereals, and as Pam discussed, they're toxic. On top of having no nutrition.
What do you mean by toxic?
Well, I mean, Pam explained it really well, just by the extrusion process again, the high heat and how it damages the proteins. There's just no nutrients. I mean, there's very little nutrients in grains as compared to animal foods, and studies have proven this. So our ancestors never ate processed breakfast cereals. They may have eaten pancakes or oatmeal that they have properly prepared on occasion. But for the most part, they were eating animal food.
And this is what a lot of people don't understand, though, about the soaking and the proper preparation of grains, is that they do need to be pre-digested. And that is where a lot of people do run into trouble when they eat grains.
Give it to us again, Christine, because I know there are a lot of people listening right now who say, wait a minute, I've got a lot of issues with my kids with moods, and they're just not as stable as I want them to be. What was the impact on your kids when you went to this diet, which featured a breakfast with eggs, with butter, with cheese, with bacon, and without the box cereals?
They stayed fuller longer. Their blood sugar stabilized, so they didn't have the moods that are up and down, and they didn't have those blood sugar crashes that you're seeing with most kids and the behavioral problems that are associated with that, you know, midway through the morning or midway through the afternoon. When you're eating a lot of fat, your mood stabilizes, and you tend to be happier, especially when you've got a full tummy. And you're just a happier, the kids are just happier. And not just kids, but adults as well. They need that as well.
And what about lunch and dinner? Give us a general idea of what you might feed at lunch or dinner.
Okay, lunch around here, because we homeschool, we're fairly casual. So we'll have leftovers from dinner, or I'll have made a big pot of soup. But with the important thing about the soup is that everything about that soup is homemade, so I don't put any of those powdered bouillon cubes. I actually make my broth from bones, and there's a lot of nutrients in those bones, so they're getting a lot of minerals that way. And, you know, if they want sandwiches, we'll make sandwiches on the sourdough bread, and we'll put lots of butter on that. They might want cheese and rice crackers, or they'll even have pâté with the crackers. You know, they might have pickles or raw carrots and cucumbers with the homemade dip. I never buy the dip.
Christine, we have to take a short break. I want to ask you, how many children do you have?
I have three.
And since you have switched to this ancestral diet, have any of the kids run away from home?
Maybe some. No. No, they haven't.
That's good to know. Listen,
they might want to, but every now and then, but no.
We're going to, we'd like to provide the opportunity for our listeners to talk to you about this, this whole new direction when it comes to nutrition for your kids. Folks, we're going to take a short break for a news update. We're talking nutrition. We're talking about the suggestion from Pam Killeen that in some cases, you might be better off feeding your kids the box the cereal comes in rather than the cereal itself, which I think is hilarious. Certainly paints a picture. We'll be back with all of that. The phone lines are open. We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 10:36 now. What are you feeding your kids for lunch now that they're back to school? What do you send in their lunch box? Is it lunch boxes they have now with the pictures of...
Or bags or what have you.
Yeah, but it's got to be a box and it's got to have a certain picture on it and you got to be really cool. But wait a minute, Pam. Lacto-fermented pickles. Who gives their kids lacto-fermented pickles for lunch?
I think Christine Kennedy does.
Well, yeah, exactly. I want to ask her about that. Christine, I mean...
Yes.
But, you know, the danger, I think, sometimes when we have a guest who, is over the top with a good nutritional food, people just give up and they go, who feeds their kids lacto-fermented pickles? In fact, what are they?
Okay, so lacto-fermented pickles are pickles that have been pickled or, fermented in the old-fashioned traditional way. So way back when they had extra, stuff coming out of the fields and out of the gardens, like cucumbers and cabbage, in order to preserve them for the winter, they had to ferment them. They didn't have canners. They didn't have jars. They didn't have vinegar. So what they had to do was they had to ferment them with maybe a little bit of whey from it's the liquid part from your yogurt, and some salt. And you put it all together with a little bit of water, and those vegetables will ferment, and it will turn them sour. The magic with lacto-fermented vegetables is that they are teeming full of good bacteria. And then the other magical part about them is that they actually increase the nutrients of those foods. So if you were to eat a regular cucumber over a lacto-fermented dill pickle, you've got a lot more nutrition in that lacto-fermented dill pickle.
Before we get to supper, because you've been running down your breakfast, and even before we get to all of that, let me just ask you to make a very brazen statement. And, of course, Pam Colleen is... the poster child for brazen and unafraid, and I don't care if it offends the whole world. I'm going to say it because it's the truth. We have so many healthcare crises in North America right now, Christine. And what are you suggesting when it comes to good nutrition for children in terms of how it can address all the issues that we hear about all the time? You mentioned mood, but autism and obesity and all the rest. Do you think that this, what you're telling us right now, is the answer to many, if not all, of those?
It's a big part of it, for sure. It's not the end-all and the be-all, but it is, it's the foundation. I mean, there's so many other factors that come into play. I mean, we've got pharmaceutical drugs that were being prescribed on a daily basis, and we're given vaccines that are questionable whether they work and how toxic they are. They put chemicals in the water that we drink. There's, pollution in the air that we breathe. So there are so many factors that contribute to our ill health these days. But our diet and, that is the real foundation.
Pam, let me ask you to make a bold statement. So you love doing this. We're going through this special diet, which Christine Kennedy, the mother of three and the chapter leader for the Weston A. Price chapter in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, if all kids in Canada were fed this diet,
oh, we'd see far less disease, far fewer behavior learning problems, and so on. I mean, we could rescue this province from going bankrupt, essentially.
Okay, I was hoping you'd go there. Because to me, if you really stick with some of these details, you're going to have dramatic results. And we're in a situation where our province is collapsing, where certainly the health ministry is a number one item when it comes to expenses. The bills are exploding. We're laying off nurses. We are in a crisis.
That's right.
And nobody knows what to do. Least of all, our health minister herself, with all these issues on a daily basis. And you're saying, Deb Matthews, look me in the eye. Here's a major solution right here in front of us.
Politicians can't listen to this information because it would upset their, the lobbyists, the big foods, the big pharmas of the world. They don't want this information out, Andy. The medical mafia, in and of itself, of course, imagine how many jobs would be gone if we were actually healthy. So there really are very few incentives to get this information out into the masses. So what's happening, though, is there's a fever right now going on at a grassroots level. While people are learning this information, they hear this wisdom, they hear this common sense, And family by family by family, they're taking control of their health. They know, like Christine, to ignore the mainstream media's advice. They know to ignore the Health Canada's food pyramid and other food fads that are out there that have no historical precedence. They're turning for nutritional answers by looking at nutritional history. You have to look at history. And that's what the work of Dr. Price does.
Christine, I wonder if I can invite you, before we get to your menu for your family for dinner, I just got a text a moment ago from my wife. She has now heard that our granddaughter, who is going to JK for the very first time today, got on the bus this morning and everything is well. Let me ask you this question. When our little granddaughter sits down to have her lunch with all of her classmates, as she looks around the room in the cafeteria at the school, what is the typical lunch that the kids are having in our public schools today, as opposed to the lunch that you have just shared with us?
Well, my kids have been removed from the public school system for several years now, but I can tell you from my own experience when I went to school, and my son did go to school for 5 years. So what I can tell you is, what I've seen and what I remember. And so that would typically be a sandwich on white bread, usually spread with margarine because it tends to be a little cheaper than butter and because we're being fooled into believing that it's better for you than butter. Might be some cold cuts, which is okay. But you're going to see a lot of processed foods. You're going to see juice boxes or pop cans. You're going to see packaged granola bars and a lot of those things, that my husband and I remember, Joe Louis and Flakies and Twinkies and things like that. You're going to see packaged cookies and packaged puddings and packaged sugar-filled yogurts, yogurt tubes, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And yet your lunch is diametrically opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
The lunch that your kids are eating is absolutely all nutrient-dense food.
Let's start with two of those items to really put a guilt trip on some of our listeners. What's wrong with white bread?
Well, again, it's nutritionally devoid, so there's just no nutrition. You've taken the grain, you've stripped it completely of any nutrient that it might have had, and you try to feed it to your kids. So there's, tell me what's in it that's any good.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now let's move to a margarine. Margarine, of course, you can put in the trunk of your car and leave it through the whole month of July, and it'll still be in the same condition afterwards because Basil. I see those commercials for Basil, and the guy has a British accent, and he's talking about it. It's just like butter. Your comment on margarine.
What do you think, Christine? Would you let it ever pass your lips?
Never. And I tell my kids, if they're out at somebody else's house, or if they're anywhere where they don't serve real butter, don't put it on at all. Eat your corn or your cob of corn without the margarine, and don't butter your bread.
Unless
don't put the margarine on.
Unless your kids have a lot of friends who have mothers like you, it must be very difficult to allow them to go even to birthday parties. And
well, you know what? I'm not 100% puritanical, and I will allow my kids to go to a birthday party and eat the birthday cake. And, eat some chips and things like that. I'm definitely not, I don't want to be a food Nazi. I mean, we can't do that in today's society. But, I sort of follow the 80-20 rule where 80% of the time they get good nourishing foods at home. And, I'm going to be lax on, the other 20% of the time if we are out. Every now and then we order a pizza and it's not organic and it's not sourdough crust. Things like that. It's just, I'm not puritanical. So, we do our best with what we have when we can.
What do you notice with other families? Christine, I'm noticing more and more young people in their 20s and their 30s out there converting over to an ancestral diet. They have collapsed with things like chronic fatigue, depression, low libido, infertility issues, and they're questioning what they're putting in their mouths, and they're realizing that they need to go back to their ancestral diet in order to reverse this situation. Are you noticing this trend where young people in their 20s and 30s are converting over to an ancestral diet?
I'm noticing a big trend. Not so much within my circle of friends, though. I do have to say that being part of a homeschooling group and being in that circle, the homeschoolers tend to be a lot more they tend to free think a little bit more, and they tend to, do a lot of things more homemade. So they're definitely more open. But I'm in an area myself where I live within 10 minutes of about a dozen different organic and grass-fed pasture farms. So I'm really lucky. So it's actually, I find the organic movement is growing rapidly. And especially young people, they're starting to read, they're starting to research, they're starting to question. And it's because everybody's sick. Their kids are being born sick. And when they're not getting better on conventional medicine and with these, you know, conventional government-touted diets, they're questioning and they're researching and they're changing things.
Christine, we have to take a short break. I want to ask you very quickly, vaccines, give me a five-second response.
No, thanks.
None at all?
None.
Your kids have not had any vaccines whatsoever?
Not one.
Okay. No police from the health unit have knocked on your door?
No, they don't need to. We don't. We have the liberty in Canada, or at least in Ontario, as far as I know, to choose not to vaccinate, and okay. That's what I've chosen to do.
Okay, I wanted to plant that thought in our listeners' minds. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask Christine about vaccines, because Bill Tucker, the outgoing director of public education for the Thames Valley Board, again on Steve Garrison's show very recently said, here's what you need to do if your child is new to the school, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he went through several criteria, and then he said, and make sure you have proof of vaccinations. And of course, a lot of parents have told us horror stories about the tremendous pressure they're under to have their kids vaccinated. So I want to ask you about that. When we come back with Christine Kennedy, a mom of three, wife and mother of three, who has the courage and the wisdom to feed her kids food that most other kids are not eating. We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Christine Kennedy is a mom in the Kitchener-Waterloo area who's absolutely committed to feeding her family good, nutritious food. She is the chapter leader for the Weston A. Price chapter in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. And again, Christine, I keep coming back to the bottom line, and we can talk about the details till the cows come home. But how important is it to feed your kids good stuff? We have friends, and I want to be very careful what I say, whose kids are a mess. I mean, they're wonderful kids, and we love them, but they all have health issues, and we keep coming back to the fact that mom puts, okay, Andy, don't use that word. It sounds too no, I'm going to use it. She feeds her kids crap, cheap crap on a regular basis, and the kids all have health issues. How important is it to feed your kids good stuff?
I really don't think that there's anything more important, to tell you the truth, Andy, because, you know, if they're not eating a good diet, how healthy are they going to be? How productive are they going to be as adults? You know, I want my children to grow to their fullest potential. Without good food, without, you know, with all the interventions, with all the pharmaceutical drugs, with the vaccines, you know, I want the best for my kids. Every parent does, but we have to have the knowledge in order to implement these things. I want healthy grandchildren. And how many people these days are infertile?
Mm-hmm. Well, just look at what our teachers say here in London. Over 25% of our kids today have a mental disorder of some kind. And today in the news, Andy, they're talking about how they're not hiring teenagers to work at some of the stores simply because these kids are so unreliable. They're not getting out of bed in the morning. They don't want to work on the weekends because they want to go to Grand Bend and party. So they're hiring seniors to take jobs that basically teenagers should be taking.
Pam, what you just said just rocked me. Because you know why? 2 days ago, I had, as our listeners will know, the principal of the new St. Andre Bisset High School in Northwest London on the air, grades 9 and 10. And Christina, I asked him, what is the biggest challenge facing kids today in our schools? And he mentioned the social media and so on. Then I said, what's the biggest challenge on the part of the teachers? And here's what he said. And it ties in beautifully with what we're talking about right now. Mental issues. And the challenge is for us as an academic and teaching community to somehow address these mental issues. I've never heard a school principal. I know Murray Faulkner, when he was retired as police chief, and I asked him, what's the number one issue in policing? He said, mental issues. Now I asked the principal of this Catholic high school in London, what's the number one challenge for teachers? And he said, mental issues. How does that, Christine, tie together with what we're talking about what we feed our kids?
When you don't feed your brain what it needs to be stable, then of course you're going to have mental issues. And how many kids these days are being fed good, saturated animal fats? Not very many, because we are being lied to by the government, and they are telling us that these this very type of fat, these animal foods, are bad for us, and they are not. They are crucial for our mental health, for our nervous system, for ourselves. You know, and it just goes to show you right there with the increase in mental issues among kids, among teenagers, among adults. You know, just how deficient we are in these really important fats and these important nutrients that come along with these animal foods.
Okay, I have to jump to dinner. We've gone through breakfast. We've gone through and breakfast, pastured eggs, fried in butter, whole raw milk, bacon, sourdough, toast with butter, sometimes organic natural peanut butter, raw honey. That was breakfast. We've just been through lunch. Okay, now let's get to the crucial meal, dinner. At your house, Christine, what is on the plate?
Okay, so we never have a supper without meat of some kind. So meat is always central. We buy grass-fed meat. We've got, like I said, we've got about a dozen grass-fed farms 10 minutes from my house. Even some of the health food stores are beginning to carry grass-fed meat. It's really important to get grass-fed if you can, because the nutrients are just concentrated and the animals are being raised the way that they're supposed to be. They're not in factory farms. So the meat is really important where we eat beef or we eat lamb. Sometimes we'll have a pastured chicken. Every now and then we'll have wild salmon. But the meat is always central. We never cut the fat off. We never take the skin off. We try to get the kids to eat as much fat as we can. We fry the meat in butter or lard or bacon fat. And then, of course, it's a basic meat and potatoes and veggies type dinner. So we'll have potatoes or we'll have rice or rice noodles. And all of that, of course, is just swimming with butter. And sometimes we'll sprinkle a little cheese on there, or I'll make a stew, you know, with the grass-fed meat and the bone broth.
Christine, sorry to interrupt, but I'm just...
Are you getting hungry, Andy?
I'm getting hungry, but I'm just thinking of some of our, and we love them all, our listeners who are vegetarians or vegans who just fell off their chair and fainted in sheer horror at what you're saying.
Well, that's too bad for them. I mean, I feel bad for them that they're missing out.
That's right. I'm a recovering vegan, and I know you went through a bout of that as well. And yep. Most of my clients, unfortunately, I'd say the larger percentage of them are recovering vegetarians, got very sick.
And Christine, meat for every dinner.
Absolutely.
It's at the heart of the meal.
Andy, yes. Before World War II, we were known as the land of three squares. That's not a fad diet. We know that eating three square meals a day kept us healthy. And we didn't have an obesity crisis. So what she's describing is what we would have eaten historically.
Wait a minute.
Generation after generation after generation.
You're dating me, and I'm going to fight back. I was a kid in the 50s, okay? And we had three squares. And meat was at the center of every meal, and we didn't even know what obesity was. We had no...
Right. But all the foods we're describing here are the foods we're being told not to eat, essentially.
Yeah.
And because we have strayed from that wisdom, this is why we see this health crisis. It's common sense.
Christine, do you give us hope here as we wrap up this hour? Give us hope that the ship of state when it comes to our health is starting at least to turn around.
Well, I think it is. And I think it's through people like Pam and getting her on the radio and speaking the truth. No matter who it offends, it's through people like the Weston Price Foundation and through the chapter leaders and through grassroots movements and through word of mouth. And just, I really, you know, I don't like to say a whole lot unless somebody asks me, but when they see my kids and how healthy they are, it is my hope that they'll ask me, what am I doing as a mother? And it will be like leading by example. And, you know, I really do believe that, this movement is changing and it's growing and people are going to get healthy, but they've got to do it on their own. Please don't let the government or please don't rely on the government or your doctor, you know, to give you this information. You've got to do it on your own. You've got to take charge of your health and your family's health, and nobody else can do it.
Okay, we want to circle right around to where we started, and that was the suggestion from Pam, somewhat facetious, that instead of feeding your kids cereal out of a box, you'd be better off to feed them the box. It makes the point. But give me 10 seconds again being the home of Kellogg's, about cereal out of a box.
Cereal out of a box is toxic. It has no nutrition. That's basically the lowdown. There's just nothing. I mean, even if you fed your children whole wheat berries or whole oats,
it will still have less nutrition than good organic pastured eggs and bacon.
Christine, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much, and God bless you for feeding your kids good stuff. So wonderful to hear that they're healthy.
And people can find more information at the Weston A. Price Foundation website, which is www.westonaprice.org.
Last word to you, Pam. Anything else you want to mention?
I'm teaching a series. I'm teaching several lectures in October, and again in February and March, and all of my classes that I'll be teaching are based on the work of Dr. Weston A. Price. So if you go to my website, pamkilleen.com, and just look at upcoming events, I've just posted the dates on my website.
One more thing, Christine. If Deb Matthews is the Minister of Health for the province of Ontario and lives right here in London and may be listening to this show, if she had an epiphany in the last few minutes listening to this show, would you have her over for lunch?
Oh, sure. She would really enjoy my lunches. She'd leave full, she'd leave sated and satisfied, and I could probably educate her a little bit at the same time while we read.
And you know what you would give her, which she doesn't have right now, and that's hope. Hope,
yes,
that there is a solution for the tremendous health crises that we face. Thanks, Christine.
Okay, thank you so much, Andy.
Christine.
What an hour.
Thanks, Pam.
It's been. Pam, you got a couple of big hitters in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I've got some fantastic guests already lined up for the next 2 weeks. So next week, we've got Jimmy Moore from Livin' La Vida Low Carb, and he's going to be exposing a lot of the myths in and around statin and low fat, all of the lies we're being told about these two issues. And I've also booked Sally Fallon, the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, for 2 weeks from now as well.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. We have to wrap it up, but folks, make Thursday at 10 o'clock an hour that you don't want to miss, because it is a path that leads straight to good health. 11 o'clock news when we come back.